black tunic. A cape of white fur hung from his shoulders, and a sword was sheathed at his side. Atop its hilt perched a wyvern, open-mouthed and screaming. None that came before that broad blade lived to see another day. She knew that sword. Nothung was its name.
You have all been retrieved from across Irelia for the purpose of serving your country.
It was easy enough to tell the nobility from her competitors. Old and wrinkled, each nobleman wore fine clothes and decorative swords. Beside each of them stood a man, some tall and slender, some burly, some average, all of them surrounded by at least 3 vigilant guards. 23 men stood between her and freedom. Most of them had enough bulk to warrant a double take, but when she scanned their faces, often scarred, pockmarked, or just plain hideous, there was no spark behind their eyes, no shining kernel of cleverness. They'd been picked for muscles, not brains. 3 of them were actually in chains. Were they that dangerous? A few of them met her gaze, and she stared right back, wondering if they thought she was a competitor or just a court lady. Most of the competitors' attention jumped right over her. She gritted her teeth. The dress had been a mistake. Why had Kaol not told her about the meeting yesterday? A moderately handsome black-haired young man stared at her, though, and she willed her face into neutrality while his gray eyes took her in. He was tall and lean, but not gangly, and he inclined his head to her. She studied him for a moment longer, from the way he balanced his weight to his left, to what feature he first noticed when his eyes moved on and he examined the other competitors. One was a gargantuan man standing beside Duke Parrington, who seemed crafted of muscle and steel, and took pains to display it with his sleeveless armor. The man's arms looked capable of crushing a horse's skull. It wasn't that he was ugly. In fact, his tanned face was rather pleasant. But there was something nasty about his demeanor, about his obsidian eyes as they shifted and met her own. His large white teeth gleamed. The king spoke.
You are each competing for the title of my champion. My right-hand sword in a world brimming with enemies.
A flicker of shame sparked within her. What was champion but a dressed-up name for murderer? Could she actually stomach working for him? She swallowed. She had to. She had no other choice.
Over the next 13 weeks, you shall each dwell and compete in my home. You will train every day and be tested once a week, a test during which one of you will be eliminated.
Selena did the calculations. There were 24 of them, and only 13 weeks.
As if sensing her question, the king said, These tests will not be easy, nor will your training. Some of you might die in the process. We will add additional elimination tests as we see fit. And if you fall behind, if you fail, if you displease me, you will be packed off to whatever dark hole you came from. The week after Yulmas, the 4 remaining champions will face each other in a duel to win the title. Until then, while my court is aware that some sort of contest is being held among my closest friends and advisors,
he waved a huge, scarred hand to encompass the room.
You will keep your business private. Any wrongdoing on your part, and I'll stake you to the front gates.
By accident, her gaze slipped onto the king's face, and she found his dark eyes staring into hers. The king smirked. Her heart threw itself backward and clung to the bars of her ribcage. Murderer. He should be hanging from the gallows. He had killed many more than she, people undeserving and defenseless. He'd destroyed cultures, destroyed invaluable knowledge, destroyed so much of what had once been bright and good. His people should revolt. Irelia should revolt, the way those few rebels had dared to do. Selena struggled to maintain his gaze. She couldn't retreat.
Is that understood?
The king asked, still staring at her. Her head was heavy as she nodded. She had only till Yulmas to beat them all. One test a week. Perhaps more.
Speak! The king bellowed to the room, and she tried not to flinch. Are you not grateful for this opportunity? Do you not wish to give me your thanks and allegiance? She bowed her head and stared at his feet.
"Thank you, Your Majesty. I am most appreciative," she murmured,
the sound blending in with the words of the other champions. The king put a hand upon Nothung's hilt. "This should be an interesting 13 weeks."
She could feel his attention still upon her face, and she ground her teeth.
"Prove trustworthy, become my champion, and wealth and glory will be yours eternal."
Only 13 weeks to win her freedom.
"I am to depart next week for my own purposes. I will not return until Yule Mass. But don't think I won't be able to give the command to execute any of you, should I hear word of any trouble or accidents."
The champions nodded once more.
"If we're finished, I'm afraid I must take my leave,"
interrupted Dorian from beside her, and her head snapped up at the sound of his voice, and his impertinence in interrupting his father. He bowed to his father, and nodded to the mute counselors. The king waved his son away, not even bothering to look at him. Dorian winked at Kaol before walking from the room.
"If there are no questions," the king said to the champions and their sponsors, in a tone that suggested that asking questions would only guarantee a trip to the gallows, "then you have my leave. Do not forget that you are here to honor me and my empire. Begone, all of you."
Selena and Kaol didn't speak as they strode down the hallway, quickly moving from the throng of competitors and their sponsors, who lingered to speak with one another and size each other up. With every step away from the king, steadying warmth returned. It wasn't until they rounded a corner that Kaol let out a deep breath and removed his hand from her back.
"Well, you managed to keep your mouth shut, for once," he said.
"But how convincing she was in her nodding and bowing," said a cheerful voice.
It was Dorian, leaning against a wall.
"What are you doing?" Kaol asked.
Dorian pushed off the wall.
"Why, waiting for you, of course."
"We're to dine this evening," Kaol said.
"I was speaking to my champion," Dorian said with a roguish wink.
Remembering how he'd smiled at the court lady the day of their arrival, she kept her gaze ahead. The crown prince took up a place safely beside Kaol as they walked.
"I apologize for my father's gruffness."
She stared down the hall, at the servants who bowed to Dorian.
He ignored them.
"By the word,"
Dorian laughed,
"he's trained you well already."
He nudged Kaol with his elbow.
"From the way you two are blatantly ignoring me, I'd say she could pass for your sister.
Though you don't really look like each other, it would be hard to pass off someone so pretty as your sister."
Selena was unable to keep a hint of a smile from her lips. Both she and the prince had grown up under strict, unforgiving fathers, well, father figure in her case. Aerobin had never replaced the father she'd lost, nor had he ever tried to. But at least Aerobin had an excuse for being equal parts tyrannical and doting. Why had the King of Otterlin let his son become anything but an identical copy of himself?
"There," Dorian said, "a reaction. Thank the gods I've amused her."
He glanced behind them, making sure there was no one there before his voice quieted.
"I don't think Kaol told you our plan before the meeting. Risky, on all of our parts."
"What plan?" She traced a finger along the beading on her skirts, watching it shimmer in the afternoon light.
"For your identity, which you should keep quiet about. Your competitors might know a thing or two about Otterlin's assassin and use it against you."
Fair enough, even if it had taken them weeks to bother to fill her in.
"And who exactly am I to be if not a ruthless killer?"
"To everyone in this castle," Dorian said, "your name is Lillian Gordana. Your mother is dead, and your father is a wealthy merchant from Bellhaven. You are the sole heir to his fortune. However, you have a dark secret. You spend your nights as a jewel thief. I met you this summer after you tried to rob me while I was vacationing in Bellhaven, and I saw your potential then. But your father discovered your nightly fun and removed you from the lure of the city to a town near Endovier. When my father decided to have this competition, I journeyed to find you and brought you here as my champion. You can fill in the gaps yourself."
She raised her eyebrows.
"Really? A jewel thief?" Kaol snorted, but Dorian went on. It's rather charming, don't you think? When she didn't respond, the prince asked, Do you find my home to your liking? It's very fine indeed, she said dully.
Very fine indeed. Maybe I should move my champion to even larger chambers.
If it pleases you. Dorian chuckled. I'm glad to find that seeing your competition hasn't damaged that swagger of yours. What do you make of Cain? She knew whom he meant. Perhaps you should start feeding me whatever Parrington is giving him.
When Dorian continued staring at her, she rolled her eyes.
Men of his size usually aren't very fast or very nimble. He could knock me out in one punch, probably, but he'd have to be swift enough to catch me.
She gave Kaol a quick glance, daring him to challenge her claim, but Dorian answered.
Good. I thought so. And what of the others? Any potential rivals?
Some of the champions have rather gruesome reputations.
Everyone else looks pathetic, she lied.
The prince's smile grew.
I bet they won't expect to be trounced by a beautiful lady.
This was all a game to him, wasn't it?
Before Selena could ask, someone curtsied in the middle of their path.
Your Highness! What a surprise!
The voice was high, but smooth and calculated. It was the woman from the garden. She'd changed. She now wore a gown of white and gold that, despite herself, Selena greatly admired. She was unfairly stunning. And Selena was willing to bet a fortune that this was anything but a surprise. The woman had probably been waiting here for a while.
Lady Caltaine, Dorian said tersely, his body tensing.
I've just come from Her Majesty's side, said Caltaine, putting her back to Selena. The assassin might have bothered to care about the slight if she had any interest in courtiers. Her Majesty wishes to see Your Highness. Of course, I informed Her Majesty that Your Highness was in a meeting and could not be—
Lady Caltaine, interrupted Dorian.
I'm afraid you haven't been introduced to my friend.
Selena could have sworn the young woman bristled.
Allow me to present the Lady Lillian Gordana. Lady Lillian, meet Lady Caltaine Rompier.
Selena curtsied, restraining the urge to keep walking.
If she had to deal with too much courtly nonsense, she might be better off back in Endovir.
Caltaine bowed, the gold streaks in her dress glistening in the sunlight.
Lady Lillian is from Belhaven. She arrived just yesterday.
The woman studied Selena from beneath dark, shaped eyebrows. And how long will you be staying with us?
Only a few years, Dorian said with a sigh.
Only? Why, Your Highness, how droll! That is a very long stretch of time.
Selena studied Caltaine's narrow, narrow waist. Was it really that small? Or could she barely breathe in her corset? She caught a glance exchanged between the two men. Exasperation, annoyance, condescension.
The Lady Lillian and Captain Westfall are very close companions, Dorian said dramatically.
To Selena's delight, Kaol blushed.
It will feel short for them, I assure you.
And for you, Your Highness,
Caltaine said coyly. A concealed edge lingered beneath her voice. Mischief coiled and sprang within her, but Dorian answered.
I suppose, he drawled, turning those brilliant blue eyes on Selena, that it will be difficult for Lady Lillian and I as well.
Perhaps more so. Caltaine snapped her attention to Selena.
Wherever did you find that dress? She purred. It's extraordinary.
I had it made for her, Dorian said casually, picking at his nails.
The assassin and the prince glanced at each other, their blue eyes reflecting the same intent. At least they had one common enemy.
It does look extraordinary on her, doesn't it?
Caltaine's lips pursed for a moment, but then bloomed into a full smile. Simply stunning. Though such pale green tends to wash out women of pallid skin.
The Lady Lillian's paleness was a source of pride for her father. It makes her rather unusual.
Dorian looked to Kaol, who failed in his attempt to not appear incredulous.
Don't you agree, Captain Westfall?
Agree about what?
He snapped.
How unusual our Lady Lillian is.
Shame on you, Your Highness, Selena chided, concealing her wicked amusement beneath a giggle. I pale in comparison to Lady Caltaine's fine features.
Caltaine shook her head, but looked at Dorian as she spoke.
You are too kind.
Dorian shifted on his feet. Well, I've dallied enough. I must attend to my mother. He bowed to Caltaine, then to Kaol. Finally, he faced Selena. She watched with raised brows as he lifted her hand to his lips. His mouth was soft and smooth upon her skin, and the kiss sent a red-hot line of fire up through her arm that singed her cheeks. She fought against the urge to step back, or smack him. Until our next meeting, Lady Lillian, he said with a charming smile. She would have highly enjoyed seeing Caltaine's face, but she dipped into a curtsy.
We must be on our way as well, Kaol said as Dorian strode off, whistling to himself, his hands in his pockets. May we escort you anywhere?
It was an insincere offer.
No, Caltaine said flatly, the facade falling. I'm meeting with His Grace, Duke Parrington. I do hope we'll see more of each other, Lady Lillian, she said,
watching her with a keenness that would make any assassin proud.
We must be friends, you and I. Of course, Selena said.
Caltaine swept past them, the skirts of her dress floating in the air around her. They resumed walking, waiting until her footsteps had vanished from their ears before speaking.
Enjoyed that, did you? Kaol growled.
Immensely.
Selena patted Kaol's arm as she took it in her own. Now you must pretend that you like me, or else everything will be ruined.
You and the Crown Prince share the same sense of humor, it seems.
Perhaps he and I will become dear friends, and you will be left to rot.
Dorian is more inclined to associate with ladies of better breeding and beauty.
She whipped her head to look at him. He smiled.
How vain you are.
She glared. I hate women like that. They're so desperate for the attention of men that they'd willingly betray and harm members of their own sex.
And we claim men cannot think with their brains.
At least men are direct about it.
They say that her father is as rich as a king, Kaol said.
I suppose that's part of why Parrington is so infatuated. She arrived here in a litter bigger than most peasant huts. It was carried here from her home, a distance of almost 200 miles.
What debauchery.
I pity her servants.
I pity her father. They chuckled, and he lifted the arm linked with hers a bit higher. She nodded to the guards outside her chambers as they stopped. She faced Kaol.
Are you eating lunch?
I'm starved.
He glanced at the guards, his smile fading.
I have important work to do. Like prepare a company of men for the king to bring with him on his journey.
She opened the door but looked at him. The tiny freckle upon his cheek moved upward as a smile spread once more.
What?
She asked. Something smelled delicious inside her chambers, and her stomach grumbled.
Kaol shook his head. Otterlin's assassin.
He chuckled and began walking back down the hall.
You should rest, he called over his shoulder. The competition actually begins tomorrow. And even if you're as fantastic as you claim to be, you're going to need every moment of sleep you can get.
Though she rolled her eyes and slammed the door, Selena found herself humming throughout her meal.
Chapter 11.
Selena felt as if she'd barely closed her eyes when a hand jabbed her side. She groaned, wincing as the drapes were thrown back to welcome the morning sun.
Wake up.
Not surprisingly, it was Kaol. She shimmied beneath the blankets, pulling them over her head, but he grabbed the covers and threw them to the floor. Her nightgown was wrapped around her thighs. Selena shivered.
It's cold,
she moaned, holding her knees to her body. She didn't care that she only had a few months to beat the other champions. She needed sleep. It would have been nice if the Crown Prince had considered springing her from Endovir earlier, so she could have some time to regain her strength. How long had he known about this competition anyway? Get up.
Kaol ripped the pillows from beneath her head.
Now you're wasting my time.
If he noticed how much skin she was showing, he didn't react. Grumbling, Selena slithered to the edge of the bed, dangling a hand over the edge to touch the floor.
Fetch my slippers, she mumbled. The floor's like ice.
He growled, but Selena ignored him as she got to her feet. She staggered and slouched into the dining room, where an enormous breakfast lay on the table. Kaol jerked his chin toward the food.
Eat up. The competition starts in an hour.
Whatever nerves she felt, she kept them hidden from him as she gave an exaggerated sigh and collapsed into a chair with the grace of a large beast. Selena scanned the table. Yet again, there were no knives. She stabbed her fork into a piece of sausage. From the doorway, Kaol asked,
Why, might I ask, are you so tired?
She gulped down the rest of the pomegranate juice and wiped her mouth on a napkin.
I was up until 4 reading, she said. I sent a letter to your princeling, asking for permission to borrow books from the library.
He granted my wish, and sent 7 books from his personal library that I'm commanded to read. Kaol shook his head in disbelief.
It isn't your place to write to the crown prince.
She gave him a simpering smile and took a bite of ham. He could have ignored the letter. And besides, I'm his champion. Not everyone feels obligated to be as nasty to me as you do.
You're an assassin.
If I say I'm a jewel thief, will you treat me with more courtesy?
She waved a hand.
Don't answer that.
She spooned porridge into her mouth, found it to be bland, and scooped 4 heaping mounds of brown sugar into the gray mess. Would the competitors actually be worthy opponents? Before she could start worrying, she examined his black clothes.
Don't you ever wear normal clothing?
Hurry up, was all he said.
The competition awaited. Suddenly not hungry, she pushed away her bowl of porridge.
I should get dressed then.
She turned her head to call for Philippa, but paused.
Just what sort of activities might I expect at the tournament today? So I can dress accordingly, of course.
I don't know. They don't give us the details until you arrive.
The captain rose and drummed the pommel of his sword before calling to a servant, as Selena walked into her bedroom. Behind her, Kaol spoke to the servant girl.
Dress her in pants and a shirt. Something loose, nothing frilly or revealing. And bring a cloak.
The girl disappeared into the dressing room. Selena followed after her, unceremoniously stripping down to her underclothes, and enjoying it far too much when Kaol's cheeks reddened before he turned away. A few minutes later, Selena frowned at herself as she hurried after the captain into the foyer.
I look ridiculous. These pants are absurd, and this shirt is awful.
Stop whining. No one gives a damn about your clothes.
He flung open the door to the hall, the guards outside instantly at attention.
Besides, you can take them off at the barracks. I'm sure everyone will be thrilled to see you in your undergarments.
She swore violently under her breath, pulling her green velvet cloak tight around herself, and trailed after him. The captain of the guard rushed through the castle, still freezing with the early morning chill, and they soon entered the barracks. Guards in various states of armor saluted them. An open doorway revealed a large mess hall, where many of the guards were just sitting down to breakfast. Finally, Kaol stopped somewhere on the ground floor. The giant rectangular room they entered was the size of the grand ballroom. Lined with pillars that supported a mezzanine, the floor was checkered black and white tile, and the floor-to-ceiling glass doors that made up one entire wall were open, the gossamer curtains blowing in the chilly breeze that drifted in from the garden. Most of the 23 other champions were already scattered throughout the room, sparring with what could only be their sponsors' trainers. Everyone was carefully monitored by guards. None bothered to look at her, save for that slightly handsome young man with the gray eyes, who gave her a half-smile before returning to firing arrows at a target across the room with unnerving accuracy. She lifted her chin and surveyed a rack of weapons.
You expect me to use a mace an hour after sunrise?
6 guards appeared in the doorway behind them, joining the dozens already in the chamber, swords at the ready.
If you attempt anything foolish, Kaol said quietly, they'll be here.
I'm just a jewel thief, remember?
She approached the rack. Foolish, foolish decision to leave all those weapons out. Swords, sword breakers, axes, bows, pikes, hunting daggers, maces, spears, throwing knives, wooden staves. While she generally preferred the stealth of a dagger, she was familiar with every weapon here. She glanced around the sparring room and hid her grimace. So were most of the competitors, it seemed. As she inspected them, she caught a movement in the corner of her vision. Kane entered the hall, flanked by two guards and a scarred, burly man who must have been his trainer. She squared her shoulders as Kane strode straight toward her, his thick lips parting in a grin.
Good morning,
he said, his voice raspy and deep. His dark eyes snaked along her body, then found her face again.
I'd have thought you'd be running home by now.
She gave him a close-lipped smile.
The fun's just starting, isn't it?
Kane returned her smile and stalked off.
It would have been so, so easy to whirl and grab him by the neck and slam his face into the ground.
She didn't even realize she was trembling with rage until Kaol stepped into her line of vision.
Save it for the competition,
he said softly, but not weakly.
I'm going to kill him, she breathed.
No, you're not. If you want to shut him up, then beat him. He's just a brute from the king's army. Don't waste your strength on hating him.
She rolled her eyes.
Thank you so much for interfering on my behalf.
You don't need me to rescue you.
It still would have been nice.
You can fight your own battles.
He pointed with his sword to the weapons rack.
Pick one.
His eyes shone with the challenge as she untied her cloak and tossed it behind her.
Let's see if you can actually back up your swaggering.
She'd shut Kane up, in an unmarked grave for all eternity. But for now, she'd make Kaol eat his words. All the weapons were finally made and glistened in the sunlight. Selena eliminated her options one by one, seeing each weapon for what sort of damage she might do to the captain's face. Her heart beat rapidly as she ran a finger across the blades and handles of each. She found herself torn between the hunting daggers and a lovely rapier with an ornate bell guard. She could cut out his heart from a safe distance with that. The sword whined as she drew it from the stand and held it in her hands. It was a good blade, strong, smooth, light. They wouldn't let her have a butter knife on her table, but they gave her access to this?
Why not wear him down a bit?
Kaol tossed his cape on top of hers, his toned body flexing through the dark threads of his shirt. He drew his sword.
On your guard!
He moved into defensive position, and Selena looked at him dully.
Who do you think you are?
What sort of person says, on your guard?
Aren't you going to first show me the basics?
She said quietly enough for only him to hear, her sword dangling from one hand. She rubbed the hilt, her fingers contracting on the cool surface.
I was in Endovier for a year, you realize. I could have easily forgotten.
From the amount of killing that went on in your section of the mines, I highly doubt you've forgotten a thing.
That was with a pickaxe,
she said, her smile growing feral.
All I had to do was crack a man's head open or hurl the axe into his stomach.
Thankfully, none of the other champions paid them any heed.
If you consider that sort of gracelessness equal to swordsmanship, what sort of fighting do you do, Captain Westfall?
She put a spare hand over her heart and closed her eyes for emphasis. With a growl, the captain of the guard lunged. But she had been waiting for some time now, and her eyes flew open as soon as his boots scraped against the ground. With a turn of her arm, she brought the sword into blocking position, her legs bracing for the impact as steel struck steel. The noise was strange, somehow more painful than receiving the blow, but Selena thought little of it when he charged again and she met his weapon, parrying with ease. Her arms ached as they were shaken from their slumber, but she continued to deflect and parry. Sword play was like dancing. Certain steps must be followed or else it would fall apart. Once she heard the beat, It all came rushing back. The other competitors faded away into shadows and sunlight.
Good, he said through his teeth, blocking her thrust as she forced him to take a defensive stance. Her thighs burned. Very good, he breathed.
He was pretty good himself. Better than good, actually. Not that she'd tell him that. With a clang, the two swords met, and they pressed each other's blades. He was stronger, and she grunted at the force required to hold her sword against his. But strong as he might be, he was not as quick. She withdrew and fainted, her feet jabbing and flexing on the floor with bird-like grace. Caught off guard, he only had time to deflect, his parry lost in his size. She surged forward, her arm coming down again and again, twisting and turning, loving the smooth ache within her shoulder as the blade slammed against his. She was moving fast, fast like a dancer in a temple ritual, fast like a snake in the red desert, fast like water down the side of a mountain. He kept up, and she allowed him to advance before reclaiming the position. He tried to catch her unawares with a blow to the face, but her anger awoke as her elbow snapped up and deflected, slamming into his fist and forcing it down.
Something to remember when fighting me, Sardothian, he panted.
The sun caught in his golden brown eyes.
Hmm?
She grunted, lunging to deflect his newest attack.
I don't lose.
He grinned at her, and before she could comprehend the words, something cut into her feet and... She had the sickening feeling of falling. She gasped as her spine collided with marble, the rapier flying from her hand. Kaol pointed his blade at her heart.
I win, he breathed.
She pushed herself onto her elbows.
You had to resort to tripping me. That's hardly winning at all.
I'm not the one with the sword at my heart.
The sound of clashing weapons and labored breathing filled the air. She flicked her eyes to the other champions, who were all in the middle of sparring. All, of course, except Cain. He grinned broadly at her, and Selena bared her teeth.
You have the skills, Kaol said, but some of your moves are still undisciplined.
She broke her stare with Cain and glared up into Kaol's face.
That's never stopped me from killing before, she spat.
Kaol clucked at her agitation and pointed his sword at the rack, allowing her to get to her feet.
Pick another. Something different. Make it interesting, too. Something that will make me sweat, please.
You'll be sweating when I skin you alive and squish your eyeballs beneath my feet, she muttered, picking up the rapier.
That's the spirit.
She practically threw the rapier into place and drew the hunting knives without hesitation.
My dear old friends.
A wicked smile spread across her face. Chapter 12. Just as Selena was about to launch herself and her knives at the captain, someone stomped a spear on the ground and called the room to attention. She faced the voice and found a stocky, balding man standing beneath the mezzanine.
Your attention now, the man repeated.
Selena looked to Kaol, who nodded, taking the knives from her as they joined the 23 other competitors encircling the man.
I'm Theodos Brullo, weapons master and judge of this competition. Of course, our king's the final judge of you sorry lot, but I'll be the one determining every day if you're fit to be his champion.
He patted his sword hilt, and Selena had to admire the beautiful woven gold of the pommel.
I've been weapons master here for 30 years, and lived in this castle for 25 more than that. I've trained many a lord and knight, and many a would-be champion of Otterlan. It will be very hard to impress me.
Beside Selena, Kaol stood with his shoulders thrown back. It occurred to her that Brullo might have trained the captain. Given how easily Kaol had kept up with her, if Brullo had trained him, then the weapons master must live up to his title. She knew better than anyone not to underestimate opponents based on their appearance.
The king's already told you all there is to know about this competition, Brullo said, holding his hands behind his back. But I figured you lot are itching to know more about each other.
He pointed a stubby finger at Cain.
You,
What's your name, occupation, and where do you hail from? And be honest about it. I know none of you are bakers and candlestick makers.
Kane's insufferable grin returned.
Kane, soldier in the King's army. I hail from the White Fang Mountains.
Of course he did. She'd heard tales of the brutality of the mountain folk from that region, and seen a few of them up close, seen the fierceness in their eyes. Many of them had rebelled against Otterlin, and most wound up dead. What would his fellow mountain dwellers say if they could see him now? She gritted her teeth. What would the people of Terrasen say if they could see her now?
Brello, however, either didn't know or didn't care, and didn't even give a nod before he pointed to the man to Kane's right.
Selena immediately liked him.
And you?
A slender, tall man with thinning blonde hair surveyed the circle and sneered.
Xavier Forrell, Master Thief of Melisande.
Master Thief? That man? Of course she realized his reed thinness probably aided in slipping into houses. Maybe it wasn't a bluff.
One by one, the 21 other competitors introduced themselves. There were 6 more seasoned soldiers, all of them thrown out of the army for questionable behavior, which must have truly been questionable, given that Otterlin's army was notorious for ruthlessness. Then there were the 3 other thieves, including the dark-haired, gray-eyed Knox Owen, whom she'd actually heard of in passing, and who'd been giving her such charming smiles all morning. The 3 mercenaries looked ready to boil someone alive, and then there were the 2 shackled murderers. As his name suggested, Bill Chastain, the Eye Eater, ate the eyes of his victims. He looked surprisingly plain, with mousy brown hair, tan skin, and average height, though Selena had trouble not staring at his scar-flecked mouth. The other murderer was Ned Clement, who'd gone for 3 years under the name Scythe, for the weapon he'd used to torture and hack apart temple priestesses. It was a wonder they hadn't executed either man, though from their tanned skin, she guessed they'd spent the years since their captures toiling under the sun in Calicula, the southern sister labor camp to Endovier. Next came 2 scarred, silent men, who seemed to be cronies of some far-off warlord, and then the 5 assassins. She immediately forgot the names of the first 4. A gangly, haughty boy, a hulking brute, a disdainful runt of a man, and a sniveling, hawking-nosed prat who claimed he had an affinity for knives. They weren't even in the Assassin's Guild. Not that Arobin Hommel would ever allow them in. Membership required years of training and a more than impressive track record. While these 4 might be skilled, they lacked the refinement that Arobin favored in his followers. She'd have to keep an eye on them, but at least they weren't the silent assassins from the windswept dunes of the Red Desert. Those would be worthy of her. They'd made her sweat a bit. She'd spent a month training with them one burning summer, and her muscles still ached at the memory of their grueling exercises. The last assassin, who called himself Grave, made her pause. He was slight and short, with the kind of wicked face that made people quickly look away. He'd entered the room wearing shackles, and only had them removed when his guards, all 5 of them, gave him a stern warning. Even now they stood nearby, watching him relentlessly. As he introduced himself, Grave flashed an oily smile, revealing his brown teeth. Her disgust didn't improve when Grave ran an eye over her body. An assassin like that never stopped at just killing. Not if his victim was female. She willed herself to hold his hungry gaze. "And you?" Brillo said, cutting into her thoughts.
"Lillian Gordana," she said, holding her chin high. "Jewel thief from Bellhaven."
Some of the men sniggered, and she clenched her teeth. They'd stop their laughing if they knew her true name, if they knew that this jewel thief could skin them alive without a knife.
"Fine," Brello said, waving a hand. "You all have 5 minutes to put away your weapons and catch your breath. Then we're on a mandatory run to see how fit you are. Those of you who can't run the distance, go home, or back to whatever prison your sponsors found you rotting in. Your first test is in 5 days. Consider us merciful it's not sooner." With that, everyone scattered, the champions murmuring to their trainers about whatever competitor they deemed the biggest threat. Kane or Grave, most likely. Certainly not a jewel thief from Bellhaven. Kaol remained beside her, watching the champions stride off. She hadn't spent 8 years building a reputation and a year laboring in Endovir to be disregarded like this. If I have to call myself a jewel thief again... Kaol raised his brows. You'll do what, exactly? Do you know how insulting it is to pretend to be some nobody thief from a small city in Fenharrow? He stared her down, quiet for a moment. Are you that arrogant? She bristled, but he went on. It was foolish to spar with you just now. I'll admit that I hadn't realized you'd be that good. Thankfully, no one noticed. And do you want to know why, Lillian? He took a step closer, his voice lowering. Because you're some pretty little girl. Because you're a nobody jewel thief from a small city in Fenharrow. Look around. He half-turned to the other champions. Is anyone staring at you? Are any of them sizing you up? No, because you're not real competition. Because you don't stand between them and whatever freedom or wealth they're looking for.
Exactly! It's insulting!
It's smart. That's what it is. And you're going to keep a low profile throughout this entire competition. You're not going to excel, and you're not going to trounce those thieves and soldiers and unknown assassins. You're going to stay solidly in the middle, where no one will look your way, because you're not a threat, because they'll think that you'll be eliminated sooner or later, and they should focus their attention on getting rid of bigger, stronger, faster champions, like Kane. But you're going to outlast them, Kaol continued. And when they wake up on the morning of the final duel, and find that you are their opponent, and that you have beaten them, the look on their faces will make all of the insults and lack of attention worthwhile. He extended his hand to lead her outside. So, what do you have to say about that, Lillian Gordana?
I can look out for myself, she said lightly, taking his hand. But I have to say that you're rather brilliant, Captain. So brilliant, actually, that I might give you one of the jewels I plan to steal from the Queen tonight.
Kaol chuckled, and they strode outside to where the running contest awaited. Her lungs burned and her legs were leaden, but she kept running, kept her position in the middle of the pack of champions. Brullo, Kaol, and the other trainers, along with 3 dozen armed guards, followed them around the game park on horseback. Some of the champions, Grave, Ned, and Bill included, had been given long manacles. She supposed it was a privilege that Kaol hadn't locked her up, too. But to her surprise, Kane led the pack, and was nearly 10 yards in front of the rest of them. How could he possibly be that fast? The sound of crunching leaves and labored breathing filled the warm autumn air, and Selena kept her gaze on the damp and gleaming dark hair of the thief in front of her. One step after another, one breath in, one breath out. Breathe. She had to remember to keep breathing. Ahead, Kane turned a corner, heading north, back toward the castle. Like a flock of birds, they followed him, one step after another, never slowing down. Let them all watch Kane. Let them plot against him. She didn't need to win the race to prove she was better. She was better without any kind of validation that the king could give her. She missed a breath, and her knees wobbled, but she kept upright. The run would be over soon. Soon. She hadn't even dared to look behind her to see if any had fallen. She could feel Kaol's eyes on her, though, reminding her to keep in the middle. At least he had that much faith in her. The trees parted, revealing the field that lay between the game park and the stables. The end of the path. Her head spun, and she would have cursed at the stitch that lanced through her side had she had any breath to do so. She had to stay in the middle. Stay in the middle. Kane cleared the trees and raised his arms above his head in victory. He ran a few more feet, slowing his pace to cool down, and his trainer cheered for him. Selena's only response was to keep her feet moving. Only a few yards left. The light of the open field grew brighter and brighter as it approached. Stars flashed before her eyes, swarming in her vision.
She had to stay in the middle.
Years of training with Arobin Hommel had taught her the dangers of giving up too easily. Then, she was through the trees, and the open field surrounded her in an explosion of space and grass and blue sky. The men in front of her slowed to a stop. It was all she could do to keep from sinking to her knees, but she made her legs slow, 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 made her feet walk, made herself take breath after breath, as the stars continued bursting before her eyes.
Good, Brello said, reining his horse and surveying whoever had returned first.
Get water. We've got more training after this.
Through the spots in her vision, she saw Kaol stop his horse. Her feet moved of their own accord toward him, then passed, back to the woods.
Where are you going?
I dropped my ring back there,
she lied, doing her best to look scatterbrained.
Just give me a moment to find it.
Without waiting for his approval, she entered the trees to the sneers and snickers of the champions who had overheard. From the approaching crashing noises, she knew another champion was on his way out. She stepped into the cover of the bushes, stumbling as the world became dark and light and tilted. She had barely sunk to her knees when she vomited. She heaved and heaved until she had nothing left inside. The straggling champion passed by. On trembling limbs, she grappled onto a nearby tree and hauled herself upright again. She found Captain Westfall standing across the path, watching her with pursed lips. She wiped her mouth on the back of her wrist and said nothing to him as she exited the woods. Chapter 13 It was lunchtime when Brello released them for the day, and to say that Selena was hungry would be a severe understatement. She was halfway through her meal, shoveling meat and bread down her throat, when the dining room door opened.
"What are you doing here?"
she said through a mouthful.
"What?"
said the captain of the guard, taking a seat at the table. He'd changed his clothes and taken a bath. He pulled a platter of salmon toward him and piled it on his plate. Selena made a disgusted face, her nose crinkling.
You don't care for salmon?
I hate fish. I'd rather die than eat it.
That's surprising,
he said, taking a bite.
Why?
Because you smell like one.
She opened her mouth to expose the ball of bread and beef that she was chewing. He shook his head.
You might fight well, but your manners are a disgrace.
She waited for him to mention her earlier vomiting, but he didn't continue.
I can act and talk like a lady if it pleases me.
Then I suggest that you begin to do so.
After a pause, he asked, How are you enjoying your temporary freedom?
Is that a snide remark or an honest question?
He took a bite of fish.
Whichever you like.
The window revealed the afternoon sky, slightly pale but still lovely.
I'm enjoying it, for the most part.
Especially now that I have books to read whenever you lock me in here. I don't suppose you'd understand.
On the contrary, I might not have as much time to read as you and Dorian do, but that doesn't mean I love books any less.
She bit into an apple. It was tart, with a sweet, honey-like aftertaste.
Oh? And what books do you love?
He named a few, and she blinked.
Well, those are good choices, for the most part. What others?
She asked, and somehow an hour flew by, carrying them on the wings of conversation. Suddenly, the clock chimed one, and he rose.
The afternoon is yours to spend in any way that you like.
Where are you going?
To rest my limbs and my lungs.
Yes, well, hopefully you'll read something of quality before I see you again.
He sniffed the air as he walked out of her room.
Hopefully you'll take a bath before I see you again.
Sighing, Selena called to her servants to draw her bath. An afternoon of reading on the balcony beckoned. The following dawn, Selena's bedroom door opened, and a familiar stalking gait echoed through the room. Kaol Westfall stopped short when he found the assassin dangling from the beam of the bedroom doorway, repeatedly hoisting herself up to touch her chin to the wooden bar. Sweat soaked her undershirt and ran in rivulets down her pale skin. She'd been exercising for an hour already.
Her arms quivered as she lifted herself again. Though she might pretend to be in the middle of the pack, there was no reason to train like it. Even if every repetition made her body scream for her to stop. She wasn't that out of shape. After all, her pickaxe in the mines had been heavy. And it definitely had nothing to do with her fellow competitors walloping her at the race yesterday. She already had an edge on them. She just needed it to be a bit sharper. She didn't pause her exercising as she smiled at him, panting through her clenched teeth. To her surprise, he smiled back. By that afternoon, a vicious rainstorm arrived, and Kaol permitted Selena to walk around the castle with him after she'd finished training with the other champions for the day. Though he spoke little, she was glad to be out of her rooms and dressed in one of her new gowns, a lovely lilac silk dress with pale pink lace accents and pearl beading. But then they rounded a corner and nearly collided with Kaltain Rompier. The assassin would have grimaced, but she forgot all about Kaltain as her eyes fell upon her companion. It was an Ilwe woman. She was stunning, long and lean, each of her features perfectly formed and smooth. Her loose white dress contrasted with her creamy brown skin, and a three-plated gold torque covered much of her chest and neck. Bracelets of ivory and gold glimmered around her wrists, and her feet were sandaled beneath matching anklets. A thin circlet comprising dangling gold and jewels crowned her head. She had two male guards with her, armed to the teeth with an assortment of curved Ilwe daggers and swords, both of them studying Kaol and Selena closely, weighing the threat. The Ilwe girl was a princess.
"Captain Westfall," Kaltain said, and curtsied.
Beside her, a short man dressed in the red and black garb of a councilman bowed to the pair. The Ilwe princess stood perfectly still, her brown eyes wary as she took in Selena and her companion. Selena offered her a slight smile, and the princess stepped closer, her guards tensing slightly. She moved with an easy grace. Kaltain gestured to the girl, poorly hidden distaste written across her beautiful face.
"This is Her Royal Highness, the Princess Nehemia Yitgar of Ilwe."
Kaol bowed low. The princess nodded, barely a dip of her chin. Selena knew the name. She had often heard the Ilwe slaves in Endovir boast of Nehemia's beauty and bravery. Nehemia, the light of Ilwe, who would save them from their plight. Nehemia, who might someday pose a threat to the King of Otterland's rule over her home country when she ascended to the throne. Nehemia, they whispered, who smuggled information and supplies to the rebel groups hiding in Ilwe. But what was she doing here?
"And the Lady Lillian," Kaltain added briskly.
Selena dropped into the lowest curtsy she could give without falling and said in Ilwe,
"Welcome to Rifthold, Your Highness."
Princess Nehemia smiled slowly, and the others gaped. The councilman beamed, wiping the sweat from his brow. Why hadn't they sent Nehemia with the Crown Prince, or even Parrington? Why was the princess herded around by Kaltain Rompier?
"Thank you," the princess replied, her voice low. "I imagine you've had a long journey," Selena continued in Ilwe. "Have you arrived today, Your Highness?"
Nehemia's guards exchanged glances, and Nehemia's brows rose slightly. Not too many northerners spoke their language.
"Yes, and the queen sent this one," Nehemia jerked her head at Kaltain, "to bring me around with that sweating worm of a man as well."
The princess narrowed her eyes at the small councilman, who wrung his hands and dabbed his forehead with a handkerchief. Perhaps he knew what sort of threat Nehemia posed, but why bring her to the castle? Selena ran her tongue across her teeth, trying not to laugh.
"He seems a bit nervous."
She had to change the subject or else she'd indeed laugh.
"What do you make of the castle?"
"It's the most foolish thing I've ever seen," Nehemia said, scanning the ceiling as if she could see through the stone and into the glass sections. "I'd sooner enter a castle made of sand." Kaol watched them, somewhat disbelievingly.
"I'm afraid I haven't understood a word you've said," Kaltain interrupted.
Selena tried not to roll her eyes. She'd forgotten the woman was there.
"We the princess said, struggling for the word in the common language. We're talking with the weather.
About the weather, Kaltang corrected sharply.
Watch your mouth, Selena snapped before she could think.
Kaltang gave Selena a vicious little smile.
If she's here to learn our ways, I should correct her so she doesn't sound foolish.
Here to learn their ways or for something else entirely. The faces of the princess and her guards were unreadable.
Your Highness, Kaol said, stepping forward, a subtle movement to keep himself between Nehemia and Selena. Are you having a tour of the castle?
Nehemia chewed on the words and then looked to Selena, brows high, as if she'd expected a translation by now. A smile tugged on the corners of Selena's lips. No wonder the councilman was sweating so profusely. Nehemia was a force to be reckoned with. Selena translated Kaol's question with ease.
If you consider the structure of madness to be a castle, Nehemia replied.
Selena turned to Kaol.
She says yes. I never knew so many words to mean one, Kaltane said with faux sweetness.
Selena's nails dug into her palms.
I'm going to rip your hair out.
Kaol took another step toward Nehemia, effectively blocking Selena's path to Kaltane.
Smart man.
He put a hand on his chest.
Your Highness, I am the captain of the Royal Guard. Please allow me to escort you.
Selena translated again, and the princess nodded.
Get rid of her,
she said flatly to Selena, and then waved a hand toward Kaltane.
I don't care for her temperament.
You're dismissed, Selena said to Kaltane, flashing a bright smile. The princess tires of your company.
Kaltane started.
But the queen—
If that is Her Highness's wish, then it will be granted, Kaol interrupted.
Though his features were a mask of protocol, she could have sworn she glimpsed a glimmer of amusement in his eyes.
Selena wanted to hug him.
She didn't bother to nod her farewell to Kaltane, as the princess and the councilman joined them, and they strode down the hall, leaving the fuming lady behind.
Are all of your royal women like that? The princess said to Selena in Ilway.
Like Kaltane? Unfortunately, Your Highness.
Nehemia examined the assassin, and Selena knew she was taking in her clothes, her gait, her posture, everything Selena herself had observed about the princess already.
But you, you're not like them. How do you know how to speak Ilway so well?
Selena
thought of a lie.
Studied it for several years.
You use the intonation of the peasants. Is that taught in your books?
I knew an Ilway woman who taught it to me.
A slave of yours?
Her tone sharpened, and Kaol flicked his eyes toward them.
No, Selena said hurriedly. I don't believe in keeping slaves.
Something twisted in her gut at the thought of all those slaves she'd left behind in Endovir, all those people doomed to suffer until they died. Just because she'd left Endovir didn't mean Endovir had ceased to be. Nehemia's voice was soft.
Then you are very unlike your court companions.
Selena could only manage a nod to the princess as they turned their attention to the hall ahead. Servants darted past, eyes wide when they beheld the princess and her guards. After a moment of silence, Selena squared her shoulders.
Why are you in Rifthold, if I might ask?
She added, Your Highness.
You don't need to bother calling me that.
The princess toyed with one of the gold bangles around her wrist.
I came at the request of my father, the King of Ilway, to learn your language and customs so I might better serve Ilway and my people.
Given what she'd heard of Nehemia, Selena didn't think that was the entirety of it, but she smiled politely as she said,
How long will you remain in Rifthold?
Until my father sends for me again.
She stopped playing with her bracelets as she frowned at the rain pounding the windows.
If I'm fortunate, I'll only be here until spring, unless my father decides that a man from Otterlin might make me a good consort, and then I'll be here until that matter is settled.
Seeing the annoyance in the princess's eyes, Selena felt a shred of pity for whatever man her father chose.
A thought struck her, and Selena tilted her head to the side. Whom would you marry? Prince Dorian?
It was prying and a bit impertinent.